This morning, our focus continues on the theme of grace. It is the core of Christian teaching, the context of our life in Christ. Both the Hebrew and Greek Testament speak of this radical gift of God's love, a gift for all of God's children. This grace is the bridge that links the human to the divine, God's ever-present love, God's care that is unconditional, indiscriminate, and full of compassion. So let's listen to the Apostle Paul as he writes to the church in first century Rome in chapter 8. We know that in all things God works for the good of those who love him, who have been called according to his purpose. For those God foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brothers and sisters. And those he predestined, he also called. And those he called, he also justified. And those he justified, he also glorified. What then shall we say in response to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare his own Son, but gave him up for us all, how will he not also, along with him, graciously give us all things? Who will bring any charge against those whom God has chosen? It is God who justifies. Who then is the one who condemns? No one. Christ Jesus died, and more than that, who was raised to life, is at the right hand of God and is also interceding for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall trouble, or hardship, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or danger, or sword? No. In all these things, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future, nor any powers, neither height nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. This is the word of God for the people of God, for which we say, thanks be to God. Please pray with me. May the words that I use be acceptable to you, O God, as well as the meditation of all of our hearts. For you are our rock and our Redeemer. Amen. Many have referred to Paul as the 13th apostle. Formerly an enemy of the church, responsible for the death of many believers, Paul became one of God's foremost advocates for the gospel of Jesus Christ. That among the Gentiles, Gentiles like you and me. God's prevenient, justifying, and sanctifying grace were the bridges that led Paul to pour out his life for his faith in Jesus, for the sake of the gospel. And so Paul begins writing to the church, we know that all things work together for good for those who love God, who are called according to the purposes of God. Paul knew that grace is the bridge that works. So he tells his readers, love God. Embrace God's creative purpose for your lives. Be confident. Be confident in spite of the evidence to the contrary that all things, not some things, but all things will work together for good. In the big picture, Paul says, the pieces will all fall together. Paul continues asking this question. What then can we say about these things? If God is for us, Who is against us? And the answer, of course, is a lot of stuff. But Paul insists that grace is the bridge that is strong. Strong in the storms of our life. Economic pressure, relationship issues, health concerns, war, crime. Many things may seem to be against us, but the bottom line, Paul says, is nothing can prevail against us, because nothing can separate us from the love of God because of God's grace. How many of you have ever thought of yourself or described yourself as a conqueror? The Greek word that expresses the idea of more than conquerors that Paul uses is hypernikomen. A victor in classical Greek contests was Nike. Yes, just like the sneaker maker. Paul says that the grace of God allows us to become hyper-Nike, more than victors over the powers and principalities of this life. Now, that is victory with the swoosh. Paul was in awe of God's grace, a grace that finds us. No matter where, no matter who, no matter what, no matter when. Paul was convinced. Are we? Even when faced with our final breath, Fast forward to the 18th century. The founder of the Methodist movement, John Wesley, and his brother Charles were sent to America, and they sailed to Georgia. They were missionaries to convert the Native Americans. But it was a mission that failed, and it failed miserably. But during the voyage to America, a strong storm arose and buffeted the ship, threatening the life of everyone that was on board. John was terrified. He believed he would die. But during the storm, he was able to witness the personal faith and the strong assurance of a group of Moravian Christians. In the midst of this horrible storm, they sang. They sang their faith. And to Wesley, they were unafraid. That event was John's Damascus Road moment. He came to understand that he had never been truly convinced that even in death, we will never be separated from God, for God will always have the last word. On May 24th, 1738, John Wesley moved from his intellectual conviction of God's grace into a personal experience of the assurance of the forgiveness of sin and his freedom from that fear of death. The gift of God's even when grace. Wesley wrote in his journal that his heart was strangely warmed and he knew himself to be a child of God. This experience occurred when John unwillingly went to church at Aldersgate Road and he heard the words, ironically, from Paul's letter to the church in Rome. Words that describe the change which God works in the heart of each one through faith in Christ. Wesley's struggle with fear was overcome when he examined his head knowledge in contrast with his heart acceptance. That acceptance of God's promises of mercy, love, peace, and grace. From the womb to the tomb and into life eternal. God's promise of grace. Fast forward to the 21st century. Paul and Wesley were convinced of that prevenient, that coming before, that justifying, sanctifying, and glorifying grace of God. The bridge that answers the question, what's so amazing about grace? Are we convinced? Are we convinced enough to answer in faith? Our society, our culture, our world desperately, desperately needs to know the answer to that question. What is so amazing about grace? Sisters and brothers in Christ, it is our calling to name it, to claim it, to live it, and then go out to share it. This grace is amazing, and we are the bridge. We are the bridge to tell the story of God's unconditional love, God's power over death, and the abundant life that God offers. With apologies to Brother John and Brother Charles, I want to share these words to close. They come from a brief statement of faith from the Presbyterian USA General Assembly. Ironically enough, there was a Presbyterian pastor in the 9 o'clock worship service, and she told me that she could recite these words from memory. She was very kind not to. Hear these words. In life and in death, we belong to God. Through the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit, we trust in the one triune God, the Holy One of Israel, whom alone we worship and serve. We trust in God, the Holy Spirit, everywhere, the giver and the renewer of life. The Spirit justifies us by grace through faith, sets us free to accept ourselves and to love God and neighbor. And it binds us together with all believers in the one body of Christ, the Church. The same Spirit who inspired the prophets and apostles rules our faith and life in Christ through Scripture, engages us through the word proclaimed, claims us in the waters of baptism, feeds us with the bread of life and the cup of salvation, and calls women and men to all ministries of the Church. In a broken and fearful world, the Spirit gives us courage, courage to pray without ceasing, to witness among all people to Christ as Lord and Savior, to unmask idolatries in church and culture, to hear the voices of people long silenced, and to work with others for justice, freedom, and peace. In gratitude to God, empowered by the Spirit, we strive to serve Christ in our daily tasks and to live holy and joyful lives, even as we watch for God's new heaven and new earth, praying, come, Lord Jesus. With believers in every time and place, we rejoice that nothing in life or in death can separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. Glory be to the Father, the Son, and to the Holy Spirit. Amen. And amen. I invite you to stand now as you are able and turn to our closing hymn, number 374, Standing on the Promises.